Online this morning. We've had some technical difficulties today, so they're just onboarding right now, and everything's been recorded on a mobile phone this morning, so probably not as good a quality as we would normally put online, but it's something out there for everyone joining us today. So welcome to all those that are jumping online and joining us right now. Why don't you welcome them all this morning, all our friends and family online with us this morning. There's a few things I do want to highlight from church news just to make sure you don't forget about those. I want you to make sure you got them locked in. Tonight, team talk. Everyone that's involved on team, if you could be here tonight, we're providing all the food tonight. It's a free barbecue. We're going to celebrate. We're going to eat. We're going to feast because tomorrow we fast. Everyone say feast. Oh, I love that. I think the scribes made a mistake when they interpreted fast. I think it was meant to be feast and feasting. And so tonight we feast because tomorrow we fast. And we're fasting for 5 days. We're fasting as a lead up, as we do every year, for our Legacy Sunday, our Legacy Offering Day, so we can seek God in terms of what we're believing God for, what we're believing God for individually, as individuals in our own world, in our own homes, our own lives. And then secondly, what we're believing for collectively as the church, what we're believing God to do. And then we're gathering, of course, on the Friday night at 7 p.m. for some prayer, some praise, and some pizza, and we will feast again. That's the good thing about fasting. You will feast again. You will survive it. Turn to neighbor and say, you will survive. Yeah, I'm a survivor. Come on. I'm a survivor. You'll survive the fasting, and we will get to feasting once again, and that will be great news. Next Sunday is Legacy Sunday, as Josh talked about on Church News. And before I preach today, I want to just address the dynamics of that, as I do every time that we do this each year. If you're new to our church, this may be new to you, but what we do every year is we do what is called Legacy Offering Day. And on Legacy Offering Day, we present an offering that's above and beyond what we would normally do with our weekly giving that Renee spoke to just previously in the service. So it's an above and beyond offering. It's a faith offering. It's a stretch offering. It's always a little bit of a season of tension as you prepare for it. I don't know about you, but I maneuver all kinds of things in terms of preparation for this day. And so what we're believing God for throughout this moment of giving next Sunday is we're believing our target, our goal is $130,000, which was the same target we had last year and the previous year for that matter. And we're believing that we'll achieve this target. Now, to help us with that, what we're doing is we're allowing people the opportunity to give on the day or to give in a pledge or a combination of both of those. For our household, for Cheryl and I, the way that it works is we will use this envelope. There's an envelope you're given on the seat in front of you if you want to take it home today, and we will bring an offering on the day in the envelope. That's what the envelope's for. So whether you're giving online or physically with cash or a check, you can use the envelope and just tick there how you're giving and how much you're giving on that day. And we always put our name on it so that there's like accountability. It's openness in terms of the people that look after finances in our church. They're well aware of what we do as pastors. So we do that. Then secondly, we utilize the pledge card, because we want to give more than we're able to physically give on the day. And that may be the same for you. And so you might pledge an amount, put your name on the card, pledge an amount you're going to give, the frequency of the giving, weekly, fortnightly, monthly, or once off, whatever it might be, and then how you're going to do that. So they're the two ways that you give. Then this card is the most important card. This is our "What are you believing God for?" card. And what this is all about is just for you to fill out a number of things or a few things that you, your family are believing God for in 2024. And on the day, you can bring this, you can put it in the offering basket. We're going to pray over it on the day. We're going to have our prayer team and others pray over it throughout the year so that the prayer things that you're believing God for, the promises you're believing God for, are having other friends stand with you, pray with you, believe with you for what you're believing God for. And every year, undoubtedly, we see miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle happen as we proclaim it, as we pray over it, as we believe for what we are believing God for. We need to do that. And so you can participate also with that on the day. Now, to raise $130,000 is really easy. All we need is one person to give $130,000. It's easy. It's easy. Everyone say easy. It's easy to raise that and hit that target. That's not difficult at all. But we're not looking for that one person. We're giving the invitation to everybody to be involved. Let's just say it was 130 people. It's $1,000. That's easy. Everyone say easy. If it was 65 people, how much is it? That was a bit quick for some of you, wasn't it? It's $2,000 for 65 people each, and that would raise $130,000. So don't be scared of that amount. Just be obedient to what you pray to God for and do your very best. Turn to your neighbor and say, just do your best. Just do your best. Above and beyond. Don't forget, we don't give our tithes to this because that's robbing Peter to pay Paul, and Peter is never happy when Paul gets paid, but Peter doesn't. And so we've got to work this properly and maturely as we do every year. And so we're praying for you as you fast this week. We're praying for us collectively. As we fast together this week, believing that we can do this. It's all based on an Old Testament offering, by the way, if you want to know the logistics of how this works scripturally. It's based on an Old Testament offering called first fruits, where the children of Israel would bring the first of the harvest to the house of the Lord, above and beyond the other tithes that they gave, because they had layers of tithing, and they would present that to the Lord. And the experts, everyone say experts, the experts, they guess, their estimate is that it would be something like, in our modern day world, something like a week's wage, something like that. Now, many of us in this church don't limit ourselves to that. We go well above and beyond that, and certainly as leaders we do, and other leaders do, and we just want you to do your very best for our collective church with this. $100,000 of it will be used, the first $100,000, towards debt reduction. That pays the principal of our loan payments down over the year for the mortgage. So $100,000 will go there, and $30,000 will be used for other vision areas in church life that pop up all the time for different things that we want to do around the house. Who thinks that's a good deal? I think it's an amazing deal, and I love this time of year for all of us individually and collectively every year. Well, I want to preach today. You want to listen? You want to be involved? You want to participate today? Come on, who wants to be stirred today? Why don't we stand? We're going to pray. Let's stand and pray today. We're going to pray for Israel right now. We're going to pray for what's happening over there among God's people and other peoples and just everything that's taking place in that part of the world today, and stand with our brothers and our sisters and humanity right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you on behalf of our world today, whether there's trouble, where there's conflict, where there's tension, where there's wars, where there's rumors of wars. It sounds a whole lot like the end times to us. And so, Father, we pray into it today. We're not ever happy with the loss of human life, no matter where it happens in the world, no matter what nationality they belong to. Father, that hurts us. It hurts heaven, Father. But you also have this special group of people called your people, and that land, that place, Israel. And whoever touches that touches the apple of your eye. And so we pray today. We pray for the responses that are taking place. We pray above everything for the protection of people, for the protection of your people, for the protection of innocent people, Father. And we pray into the extremes of what's going on here, Father, among the Hamas and organizations like that. with people that are extremists, that are stirring up all of this conflict, Lord, and this battle that's taking place right now between light and darkness, which has always taken place. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray, into that circumstance, into that environment. We want Israel to know they don't stand alone. We want Israel to know the world sees, the world notices, and the world responds. We want them to know the church sees, and the kingdom of God acknowledges and embraces them at this time. And so we speak peace into our world, Father, in Jesus' name, across the Ukraine, Father, with everything still going on there in Russia, and we're just praying peace in that area, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Hold our world closely in this time, we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, in this moment, in this space right now, in this room and online this morning, we're praying for God, you to speak to us. We're praying, Holy Spirit, come and work in all of our hearts and our lives. We pray today in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. Why don't you take your seats? God bless. Well, so much to pray about in these days. We're on a series called Good Farmer. Good Farmer. It sounds a lot like good karma, but it's nothing like good karma in another sense. It's kind of same, but it's different. Good karma, as we're all well aware, is deeply founded in Hindu religion and their ideology, and it's the thought that what goes around comes around. And the Bible kind of mentions and teaches a similar principle called seed time and harvest, these seasons of sowing and reaping that will continue until the end of time. And the Bible speaks about how we are invited to be a part of the creative process that God has put in place that brings life to things, that sows towards a harvest and an outcome for the future in every field of our lives. And so our thoughts are important, our attitudes are important, our actions, our behaviors are important, our choices are important, because they all go towards determining what our future outcomes will be. We've looked at this text in Ecclesiastes 11, 4 and 6 as being like our foundational thought, where it says farmers, or sowers to use our thought, and farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. You know, if you're waiting for the perfect moment to get involved in different things in life and to take your big steps or sow towards something or whatever, that perfect moment may never come. I think we create perfect moments, and they don't look perfect when we're beginning them, but they become perfect on the journey. There's a journey of perfection. Like, I don't know whether you realize it, but you're not perfect yet. That's like news for, that's like breaking news for some of us when we realize that we're not perfect yet. We're all in, that's why we can't be judgmental. That's why we don't have the right to cast judgment on others, because we don't sit in the seat of pontification. We're not the Pope of all knowledge. We're not sitting at that level. We're all doing this together. We're all in the journey of life, and we're all kind of perfectly imperfect, and on our way to perfection is where we are. So we don't sit around waiting for everything to be perfect, because we'll never do anything. Solomon says this, he says, plant your seed in the morning. This is what we're to do. Plant our seed in the morning and keep busy all afternoon. So you, because you don't know, I can't talk, for you don't know if profit will come from one activity or another, or maybe both, maybe both. And so our thought has been, sow your seed, do your work, and pray and hope. Sow your seed, do your work, and pray and hope. We're not just getting saved and living this thought of being saved and then leaving everything up to God, and God will do whatever, and whatever God does and however life works, well, that is the will of God. Not everything that happens in life is the will of God. Not everything that happens in your life is the will of God. Because God has given us the ability to be creators of outcomes, creators of harvest ourselves. And so we're not sitting around waiting for those perfect conditions, because if we do, we will never sow and we will never reap what we want in life. And so we have actions towards those things that we want in life, that we want to achieve in life. Now, we started in week one talking about how important it is not to allow a challenging season, because, boy, we've had one. And you may be sitting there today thinking, boy, I'm in one right now, and I can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And if that's you, this thought is for you, for us, for all of us, individually and collectively, not to allow a challenging season or circumstance to hinder us from sowing good seed. It's how we overcome evil. It's how we overcome evil. We overcome evil by doing good. By doing good. Not by protesting, by doing good. Put away the protest and get into the action of doing good. The church needs to be known for sowing seeds of doing what? Good. Good. The church is not a protest voice. We're here to be people that do good. That's what we're called to do. And so we sow seeds of doing good, and we don't hold back. Week two, we talked about not just seeing your future, but seeding your future. Not just seeing it. It's one thing to have vision. It's one thing to have good intentions. It's a whole nother thing to work with intentionality. That's a different level altogether. I've sat at many tables and heard people's dreams of vision and hope and thought and desire and good intentions. But the people that are actually intentional, they're the people I want to walk with, people of intentionality, people that will walk it out, people that will work it out, people that will pray it through, people that will sow in the morning and do the work, like Solomon says, because you just don't know what God is going to bless. And so we've been combining these two thoughts of not holding back, and sowing seeds in every season as being the foundational thoughts of what we're talking about, seeding for our future. And I want to say to every individual and collectively to us as a church, to everyone online today, all of our family, all of our friends online today, don't let the economy dictate your sowing. Don't let a challenging, difficult season dictate your sowing in any area of life. You may have had a friendship go bad. Don't let that cause you not to sow into new friendships, into new connections, into new relationships. Don't hold back. Sow good seed. Don't let what others say, don't let the report of others, the experiences of others deter you from sowing good seeds. You are a good farmer. Yeah. You say that to you, I'm a good farmer. I get up, I sow my seeds, I do my work, I pray, I believe, and I hope for what God will bless. Last week, Pastor Marichelle preached an outstanding word about the keys for seeding towards a blessed future. That we sow our seeds heavenwardly. In other words, we see things through the eyes of God, the perspective of God, and we align ourselves with Him. It's a good old-fashioned thought from the Bible called obedience. Everyone say obedience. Yeah, just to obey God. Obey what God's Word says to us. It's one of the major lessons of sowing for a good future. Then seeding your future holistically. Holistically. Like it's, you might be amazing with finances, and that field of your life is very successful, but your soul field might be very poor. And the Bible says, what does it gain a man if he gains the whole world? In other words, his financial field is amazing, but his soul field is bankrupt. What does it gain him if he gains all of that but loses that? And it's the same in the different fields of life. The fields that God has given us to sow into. We want a sense of balance. We want a sense of, have you ever gone to a shopping center, into Coles or Woolworths? And I know I'm speaking to more of the female sector of our community right now than the male sector. Men are going, what, shop? Well, maybe you don't go now. Maybe you shop online. Maybe we do that with groceries. But have you ever gone and got one of those trolleys that is just like out of control? Like those trolley wheels. Aren't they the worst thing in the world? You get one that's flat, you get one that's wobbly. I can never seem to get one that has four round wheels. And when the wheels aren't round, the wheels on the bus are meant to go. When the wheel's flat, when the tire's flat, you're not going far. You can get to where you've got to go to, but it's going to be a whole lot rougher, a whole lot bumpier, a whole lot less enjoyable. There is nothing like riding in luxury. There is nothing like sitting at the pointy end of the plane, which I, by the way, don't sit in very often at all. I've sat way down the back end of the plane. And I've noticed at the back end of the plane, the seats are a lot closer and the seats are a lot smaller, or either I've got a lot larger every single time I fly, which could also be the case. But I've walked through the front sections, and every time I walk through it, I just kind of... It's like when you walk into Meyer or David Jones and you walk through the perfume section. Like, hang on, should I say this as a man? But I do. I walk through the perfume section and I just slow down. Because it smells good. It smells good. It's nice. When the wheels of life are smooth for you, the journey is a whole lot more enjoyable. A whole lot more enjoyable. Let's turn today to Genesis chapter 26, verse 1. Genesis chapter 26, verse 1. It says this. It says, a severe famine struck the land, as it happened before. It wasn't the first time. It had happened before in Abraham's time. And so Isaac, this is the star of the story, he moved to a place called Gerar, where Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, lived. And the Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go to Egypt, but do as I tell you. I don't know whether you've ever had God appear to you. He's not physically ever appeared to me like that, but he speaks to me. He speaks to us. I'm sure he speaks to you individually. Well, Isaac had God appear to him and said, do not go down to Egypt, but do as I tell you. And then it says, live here. This is what God said. Live here as a foreigner in this land, and I'll be with you, and I will bless you. And I hereby confirm that I will give you all these lands to you and your descendants, just as I solemnly promised Abraham, your father. I will cause your descendants to become as numerous as the stars, and I will give them all these lands. And through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And I will do this because Abraham listened to me, so because of your father, and obeyed all of my requirements, commands, and regulations and laws. And so Isaac stayed in Gerar. The background of this story is Abraham, who was the father of our faith, but literally he was the father of Isaac. He had gone to the promised land. He had gone to a place that God had called him to and his family. And he was in this place and he was farming. He was building life. His son was farming. Isaac was farming in that place. And he had settled there. He traveled 1,500 kilometers to get to this land, Canaan, from his home. It was an untamed, uncharted territory that he went into, and he trusted God to move him and his family and his people into this new, uncharted territory that they would own and they would possess. And then Abraham passes away. And now Isaac is left there, and Isaac is farming there, and life begins to happen. Drought comes. Drought turns into this severe famine that affects all of the land. You know, sometimes believers think that God's blessing, God's promises, and promised land living comes towards us, and all we have to do is just sit back and relax in life, and God will just make it all happen. That we get saved and God does the rest. The truth is, God actually invites us to participate in building life, to be participants in the creative process of the fields of our life, in our financial world, in our soul world, in our relational world, in every one of our fields, God invites us to be participators that would sow towards a harvest and an outcome that we are believing God for. Now, here's the thing about our fields, about our harvest, and about the promises of God. Circumstances will always challenge the promise. Circumstances will always come, they will always present, that will challenge everything that we are believing God for. There will always be the tension, there will always be the conflict, there will always be the fight. So don't ever be surprised by suffering. But don't ever be surprised by the test. Don't ever be surprised by the tension, by the problem, by the circumstances that we are confronted with, because they come to try and dominate the promise. And the way we overcome is through exercising the patterns of being good farmers. Being a good farmer. Sowing good to defeat evil. Sowing good to overcome darkness. Sowing good to overcome difficulties in life. And so Isaac, he left the promised land and he's headed towards Egypt, because Egypt's the place of hope when famine was on. That's just how it worked, because Egypt had the water supply. They had the River Nile. They had the silos to store all the food. And so people would come from the other lands to hide in Egypt and retreat to Egypt so they could be watered, they could be fed, their families would survive these moments of severe drought that would happen from time to time. And Isaac's on the journey. And halfway comes this little village called Gerar, between Canaan, the promised land, and Egypt. Canaan representing the promises of God, the promised land. Egypt representing the world and the world's provision and the world's culture and the world's way. And so Isaac is retreating from promise to the popular. And God appears to him, and God speaks to him, and God says this to him: do not go down to Egypt. Stop right here. Stay here, live here as a stranger in this land, as a foreigner, and I will be with you and I will bless you. And so Isaac stops. He gets on the land. He starts farming. He starts cultivating. He starts working the land in the middle of this severe famine. Now, I want you to imagine what a famine is like. In a famine, nothing good happens. In a famine, nothing survives. In a famine, everything dies. In a famine, you don't plant, you don't sow. In a famine, you hide. In a famine, you go for shade. In a famine, you look for water. In a famine, you conserve your seed. In a famine, you conserve your food. In a famine, you're living very conservatively. But God had spoken promises to him in a challenging, difficult, dark season and moment of life. And so rather than working with the famine, he works against the famine. He works against the evil by sowing good. By sowing good and sowing towards his future. Other farmers are giving up. They're walking off the land. They're throwing in the towel. They're walking past Isaac's farm going, Isaac, give it up, man. This is coming to nothing. This famine's going to kill you. It's going to destroy you. It's going to wipe your family out. It's going to wipe your herds out. It's going to wipe your flocks out. It's going to wipe out all of your grain. You're not going to win in the famine. Go to Egypt. But God had spoken. God said, no, stay here. Stop here. I will bless you. If you stop here and you do what I say, I will bless you. Here's my thoughts for today. Number one, my first big thought is don't be moved by circumstance. Don't be moved by circumstances. You know, when you get a few years and a little bit of mileage on the clock, you understand that circumstances come and circumstances go. You understand seasons come, you understand seasons go. The first time you see something difficult in life, it's always alarming. But the second time you see it, and the third time you see it, you think, I've been here before. I've been here before. I know what to do. I've seen this come. I've seen this. This is what I love about old people. Old people have been through some storms. They've been through some trauma. They've been through some trouble. And they see beautiful young adults that are growing up and experiencing it for the first time in life. And they see them rattled and worried and in anxiety and depression as a result of what they're confronting. And these beautiful little old ladies and old men with wrinkly skin and gnarly hands and hunched over can sit down beside them and go, "It's gonna be okay, sweetie. It's gonna be okay, son. You'll survive this. Darkness will come, but light will come in the morning." These are seasons that God has set. If life wasn't tough, you wouldn't be rough. Come on. If there's no resistance, you don't know how good you are. You don't know what you're made of. You don't know how good that orange is until you squeeze the thing. Yeah. Have you ever squeezed an orange that looked good and tasted yuck? Yeah. Or fruit? And you know, what it is on the outside is nothing what it's like on the inside. This is what God wants to do. He wants you to be good looking on the inside, not just the outside. Beautiful in your soul, in your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's a beauty. You can't put makeup on that. You can't put some spack and fill on that. You can't dress that up and make it pretty. If your soul's ugly, it's ugly. It's just ugly. Like if you've got a bad temper, that's just ugly until you deal with that thing. And God wants to deal with the soul. Paul speaks about it, about our fine apparel and things that, you know, dress us up and make. And look, nothing wrong with that. If the barn needs painting, just paint the thing. You know, if we all need a little bit of that. We all need that. And we should do that. We should present well. It's nice to dress well and put your makeup on. And boys, you know, We just got to do some things, and that's all good. But there's an inner beauty. There's an inner beauty. Like, external beauty is important for attraction, but there is an attraction that is far more attractive than that external beauty. You know, we've all met beautiful people that in their soul are just ugly. It's just ugly. And we want to be beautiful inside. We want to be beautiful outside. And so don't be moved by circumstances. Circumstances come, circumstances go. And this was the message God wanted to give to Isaac, was don't be moved by circumstances. Literally, what God is saying to Isaac is, don't let the current economic circumstance here in Gerar affect you. Don't let this severe famine, I know it's severe, don't let it move you, because I've got promises for you. I've got blessing for you. I've got favor for you, Isaac. Do as I tell you to do. Plant some seed, sow some seed, do your work in the morning, and you don't know what I'm going to bless. You just do what I tell you to do. I'm in control of the blessing. I'm in control of that harvest coming once you've released that seed and you sow that seed. It's like God saying to him, you've made progress, so don't get caught up with bad reports. I know what the other farmers are saying. I hear it too. I hear the village talk. I hear the whispers. I hear the conversations that are going on. Just let it go. Let it go through to the keeper. Don't get involved in it. Don't engage with it. Stay focused. Be a good farmer. You know, when you're a good farmer, you can't be concerned about everyone else's business. You can't be a busybody. You can't be worrying about everyone else's field and interfering in their field. Just stay in your own field and look after your own field and grow your own field and develop that field in life. It's like God saying to Isaac here, I can show you some things to do, Isaac, in this season of famine that will sustain you and will bless you more than if you go to Egypt. So just listen to me. Just stay right where you are. Don't be moved by this severe famine. It's like God saying, Isaac, don't lose confidence. Don't lose confidence. Hang on to your confidence. Your confidence is really important. Don't change your expectation for what you were believing for just because it went dark, just because it was challenging, just because it was difficult, just because there was this report or that report that came. Don't lose your focus because of this famine. Why? Because I'm your very present help in time of need. I'm your very present help in time of need. And it's like, hello, I'm God and I'm here. Yeah. I'm here. I'm here to help. I'm here. How many of you are thankful that God's name is not Kevin? I'm here to help. My name is God, and I'm here to, he's here to help. He's here to help us. It's like God saying, I'm your provider. It's God saying, I'm your way maker. It's God saying, I'm more than able. I'm more than able. That's our theme for next Sunday, that God is more than able. I want all of us to absorb that. I want all of us to be just pondering on that. I want us all to be just drenched in that thought that God is more than able. And I'm glad he is, because sometimes I'm not more than able. Sometimes I'm just not that able. Sometimes I'm less than able. Sometimes I can't even see able. Are you ever like that? Anyone else in the room ever weak? Anyone else in the room ever unsure? Anyone else in the room thinking, who turned the lights out? It's gone so dark. It's so challenging. It's so difficult. Or a report that comes your way. Keep the light on by staying connected to the one that's more than able. Because God has the same message for you and I today. It's not just a message for Isaac. The lesson of Isaac's journey is a lesson for us. The Bible says that these things happened as an example for us. These things are a picture for us. These things are a glimpse for how God works with us and for how we work with God. So when you're in the challenge, don't panic, don't get off course. Don't panic and don't get off course. Don't lose your focus, your faith, and your future over a season of scarcity. Don't lose that over that, because this is the test. This is the trial. This is the moment. This is the resistance. This is the fight for our faith as individuals in these kinds of seasons. Don't get caught up in the bad reports. Bad reports come every day. They come in different ways. They come in the mail every time you get your electricity bill. That's a bad report. Every time you got to pay your mortgage, that's a bad report. Well, whatever it is that you're doing and paying and struggling with. A health report, it's a bad report. Bad reports come. And we need to confront the bad report with the promise of God, the word of God, the presence of God, the God that is more than able. Sow seeds that are good. If we're not moved by circumstances, then God can bless us. He can increase us. He can promote us in the middle of challenging circumstances. But if we're always running to Egypt, if we're always going to Egypt's river for water supply, if we're always going to Egypt's silos for our food supply, when things are getting challenging and dark and difficult in life, then we will never know the answer of the promises of God and the blessing of those promises of God that he wants to bring our way. We need to listen to what God says and do what God says to do. This is sowing seed heavenwardly. That's what this is all about. See, sowing good seed is the answer to our current reality in whatever area of life. If you're lonely in your relationship field, if it's full of loneliness and it's a barren field, there's only one way to fill it with friends, and that's to be friendly. Turn to your neighbor and just smile. Smile. That is such a good start. Just to smile at people. You know, if I'm going to meet someone and I walk into a room, I look for the people that are smiling at me to talk to. When I'm preaching, I look for the people that are smiling. Where are they? Because not everyone smiles. I look for the people that smile. I look for the people that light up, because that draws me. Like light draws flies, I'm like a fly. I'm drawn to lights. Yeah, we all are. We all are. Don't smile like that, Denley. I can see what you're doing. Smile. it's easy. We're attracted. We're drawn to that. And so sowing good seed is the answer to our current reality. See, God wanted Isaac to continue his habit of sowing good seed in this strange place, this foreign land that he was at called Gerar. He wanted him to be intentional about sowing seed for the harvest he wanted in life. He wanted him to think about being seed-minded rather than need-minded. You see, he left the promised land need-minded. I need to go to Egypt. I need to get to their water. I need to get to their food silos, their food storage. This is what I need to do. And God stopped him and said, no, what you need to do is you need to see the future. You need to seed the future. You need to sow your seed right here in a land where you don't think it's going to prosper, where you don't think it's going to be blessed. And why did God do that? Because if God had blessed him in the promised land, that was easy, because that was fertile. that was fertile. That was a place of blessing. That was a place of abundance until this famine came. And often, you know, when it's all going good, it's all wonderful with God. Our relationship is wonderful with God. But it's in those dark, difficult, challenging moments when it seems like things don't go right that God looks at us and thinks, what are you going to do now? Are you going to sow seed towards your answer? Sow seeds out of this current reality? I know that God wanted Isaac to sow seed because in Genesis 26, verse 12, this is what God said to Isaac, or it says of Isaac. It says, Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year he reaped a hundredfold. In the same year. In which year? In the year of famine. When others were walking away, he reaped a hundredfold what he'd sown out of those seeds. Why? Because God had blessed him. Because God had blessed him. Do you know God is more able to bless you in a place that others think you will not be blessed? Yeah. Than we realize. He's able to. He's able to do that. Isaac sowed because he knowed. I couldn't create any other word that worked for that. I know it's not a word, but he knowed. That's why he sowed. You see, if you know, you sow. If you know, you sow. That's what you do. People who don't know that they don't know. Have you ever met people that don't know that they don't know? Sometimes I look at people that don't know that they don't know and I'm thinking, why don't you know? Why don't you see this? What can't you see that I see that seems so clearly now? Sometimes things are just foggy for people. Sometimes people don't see because they don't want to see. Sometimes people don't see because they just don't put in the work to see. Sometimes it's taken me work and diligence and study and application and intention to be able to see things. I can either choose to live in my ignorance and my folly and my foolishness, or I can choose to be a learner. And Pastor Marichelle spoke last week about learners. Learners are great to be around because learners are inquisitive. They're inquisitive. They ask questions. They want conversation. They want to hear your opinion on this or on that. And they want to sit at a table and they want to discuss it. That's what learners do. The opposite of a learner, I think the word that Marichelle used last week started with F and sounds like tool. And it's a word, fool? Fool. Is a fool when we don't want to learn, when we don't want to know, when we don't want to understand. There's so much to know, but if you don't know that you don't know, you're not going to know. And if you don't know, with what we're talking about, if you don't know, you won't sow. Isaac sowed because he knowed. While others were walking off, he's standing there thinking, I know. They're going, you need to go to Egypt. He's going, no, I know. Well, what do you know? If you know, why don't you come to Egypt? No, I know. God spoke to me. Yeah. What makes the difference? God spoke to me. Yeah. And now I've seen him. I can't deny him. Yeah. Moses stood in front of a bush that was on fire but didn't burn. And when he walked away from that bush, it's like, I know. And God said to him, go and speak to Pharaoh and be my mouthpiece, be my representative. And he thought, I can't speak. But it's like God was saying to him, didn't I tell you that you now know? You've seen me. You've heard of me. You've tasted and seen. Do you know? Ask yourself, do you know? Do I know? Does my sowing support my knowing? Wow. Does my sowing support my knowing? Is there a picture of what I know in what I sow? And what I know the future can be in this field and that field and that field and that field, in my career field, in my work field. See, I can't avoid that field. I can't neglect that field. I can't deny that field because there's blessing out of that field which is interconnected with my financial field. Yeah. I'm never going to be blessed in my financial field if I don't get my career field, my work field, my business field sorted. And seeds planted in there. And the good news is you can plant those seeds at any stage, any time in life. You can increase that seed. You can sow that seed. You can work that ground. You can plow that ground. If you're not happy with what's in that ground, pluck it up. Turn to your neighbor and say, pluck it. Pluck it. pluck it up. Plow it up. Prepare the ground. So Isaac was blessed in a time of severe famine. Get this. He didn't just get a natural harvest. He got a supernatural harvest. He got an accelerated harvest, 100-fold in the year that he sowed. And he sowed because he knowed God's supernatural was on his natural. And that's what I want for you. That's what I want for us. Isaac received an accelerated harvest, an uncommon harvest, an unprecedented harvest. A harvest that other farmers who'd left the land were going, wow. What did he know that we didn't know that caused him to sow? In that field, well, we gave up our farms and we walked away. You see, Isaac had to take much needed seed at a time of need and he put it in the ground. Which is... there's no sense to that. There's no rationale to that. There's no explanation to that. It's like with tithing. If I think of tithing, like the concept of me giving 10% to God from everything that my land produces, my career, my business, my work, whatever it is, and I give an honor 10% to God, that I can live better on that 90%, like Renee said, than I could on the 100%. It makes no sense to me because I understand 100%. We all know that, don't we? We understand 100%. When we understand what we mean by 100% is, it's all mine. I understand that. I grew up naturally understanding everything was mine. No one had to teach me. As a toddler, mine. See, the concept of sharing had to be taught me. The concept of generosity had to be taught me. Like Michael and I grew up in the same home. Mine. And he was exactly the same. Mine. And what happens when two people go, mine, 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 like seagulls on a beach? Big people in your world have to teach you to be generous. And we have a big person that layers over all the other big people on the earth and in our world, and that's God. And he teaches us generosity, he teaches us sharing. And he says, I'll bless you with everything, but you give me a tenth, you present that back to me, and that 90 will be blessed. And I learned that, we learned that at a young age. Many of us did. And now in my old age, it holds me in good stead. It's a field that's well developed. It's a field that harvests and continues to harvest. And this is what God was trying to do with Isaac, was getting to think being seed-minded rather than need-minded. It's not that you don't have need. It's not that I don't have need. I am full of need. I have need all around me in terms of needs of things that I want to do and needs that I want to help towards. But I know that my future outcomes and my future harvest is much better if I am seed-orientated than need-orientated. When it's need-orientated, all it works around greed rather than seed. And I don't want to work around greed. I want to work around seed because seed produces a righteous harvest in that field. So you may not be living where you want to live right now in terms of life. You may not be doing what you want to do right now in terms of life. You may not be in a season that you particularly want to be in or feel like you deserve or even you sowed towards. You may not be seeing the promises of God fulfilled. You may be in need today, in circumstances that are uncomfortable, unwarranted, unwanted, and uncontrollable. The answer for that reality to become a better reality is to see the seed in your need and sow towards a harvest that you want or you feel God has called you towards. So be seed-minded, not need-minded or need-focused, and sow seeds towards the future that you want. If we can learn to be seed-minded and seed-oriented, orientated, not need orientated, we will always have a harvest of blessing coming our way. I declare it today. I prophesy it today over you today. You don't need a visiting speaker with a white jacket and all the trimmings that come with that to fly in on his jet today and tell you and prophesy over you that blessing is coming your way. I can prophesy with good authority today, that blessing is coming your way because you sowed it. And if you sowed it, you knowed it. And when you knowed it, you can stand there. This is my field. And this field is going to produce because I knowed it. I knowed who promised me this field. It might be a time of darkness. and challenge and issue. But if I am seed orientated and I just keep sowing my seed rather than being led by need, that harvest will be good. So God has great things in mind for our future. God had great things in mind for Isaac's future. If you keep reading the story, it says in 26:13 of Genesis, the man, that's Isaac, the man became rich. His wealth continued to grow until he became wealthy. In the New King James Version, it says he began to prosper. He continued prospering until he became very prosperous. That's the new reality for Isaac. Out of famine into favor. Out of famine into favor. You know where we are? Oh, the next verse, sorry. It says he had so many flocks and herds and servants, the Philistines envied him. His enemies envied him because of the blessing of God. Where we are often looks nothing like where God is taking us. So don't judge me by where I am. Because where I am, it looks nothing like where God is taking me. That needs to be our mantra. Don't judge me by where I am now, because where I am is not where God is taking me. Who you see today is not who I will be. What it is now is what it is, but it's not what it will be. There's a field, there's a harvest, there's a seed. So don't let where you are make you who you are. Because where you are is not who you are, it's just where you are today. God doesn't define you by your circumstance. God has a bigger, better, brighter thing in mind for you. So when God said to Isaac, stop here, don't go down to Egypt, stop your plan and listen to my plan. When God said that, he meant it and he wanted Isaac to stop. And church, sometimes when God just says, stop and listen to me, you know, not sometimes, every time. Every time God says, stop and listen to me, it's wisdom to stop and listen to him. It's wisdom to stop and listen to him, because he does it for our benefit, because he has a plan that's brighter, a plan that's bigger, a plan that's better for us in that area of life. And we need to stay in position and hold our position of faith. Why? Because we know. I know. I know it. I know. I know what I know. And no circumstance, no drought, no famine, no difficulty, no challenge, no report, no evil can deny the fact that I know and that God has spoken to me in his word, through his word, through his promises, through the connection I have with him. It's not about me. It's not because of who, it's because of who he is. Peter says, God has given us all these amazing and wonderful promises. Do you know that? Because if you know that, you can sow towards that. I sow faith towards it. I sow belief towards it. I sow towards the receiving of what God has promised for me. So God has a plan for the seed, and the answer is in the seed. You see, God has always got great things planned for us. I want all of us to understand this, that it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what life has done to you, what you have done to life, whatever your field is today, your field can be plucked, it can be plowed, your seed can be planted again in that field, and things can become better in terms of the outcomes. God is always wanting to move life forward for us, because God hates famine. He hates poverty-mindedness. He hates those moments of darkness that come for people. He hates the challenging seasons and seasons of difficulty, because that's not the land that he called us to. He called us in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, to the promised land. When he created Adam and Eve, he placed them in the Garden of Eden. He didn't put them in a desert. It was a beautiful Garden of Eden. And in the church for the New Testament, God has called us as individuals and collectively to live in that place of blessing, that place of honor, that place of receiving the promises of God. And then finally and eternally, heaven is our home. It is our hope. It is our future. It just keeps getting better and better. The Bible says the way of the righteous winds upwards, 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 and upwards. It gets brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. Brighter. So it might be dark today, but the sun's coming up tomorrow. I went to bed last night, as you probably did. Closed my eyes. I didn't have any doubt that the sun was coming up this morning. I knew it would be up quickly, early. I'm never surprised that the sun comes up. I've been watching the sun come up for 61 years. Not literally, but it's come up, you know. And after all that time, You don't have to tell me about the sun coming up because I know. I'm not a know-it-all, but I know. What do you know? Do you not know? Have you not heard? Isaiah the prophet said that even young men grow weary and weak, but God will renew the strength of those that wait upon Him. Come on. Whether you're young, whether you're old, the psalmist said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or the children begging for bread. God always has an answer. Let's stand to our feet today. He always has an answer. So God's got great things in mind. Great things in mind. He'll bring us from a place of famine to a place of favor in the different fields of life. So I'm headed towards that promised land because I know that's where I belong. That's where I want to live. I will not retreat. I will not turn around. I will not give voice to people that do that. I will not leave my land to go to Egypt. I will not let an ideology, a philosophy, a political view, a persuasion, a preference of anyone else detract me from the promise of a God that is able to do more than I could ever think or imagine. I'm going to listen to His word and His... Oh, that's American. His word, His way. Must have been the anointing come on me right then. It just sounds better, doesn't it? His word, His way, Pastor. I don't do accents for a very good reason. But I do anointing. His word, His way. Come on. Listen to that. Listen to Him. So many other voices want to lead us out, lead us away from the fields that we're sowing in. So I will not look back. I will not be divided. I will sow seed in all seasons. I'm not waiting for perfect conditions. I'm not waiting looking for the clouds and I'll do it when. No, I'll do it now. I'll do it now. I'll do that work now. I'll get to that study now. I'll sign up for that course today. I'll go and say hello to that person that I've been avoiding and neglecting, that one I want to know. I'll get my money in order. I'll stop playing games with that. I'll stop living wastefully. I'll start to honor the Lord, the first act, because that's the seed I need to sow. I'll work for my future and my destiny. I'll work for my harvest. And my confidence will be that God has brought me this far and He has not brought me this far to let me fail. And I want you to hear that today. Whoever you are, God is able. I need to say it again because I know there's some today that don't believe that you are able. And you think it's okay for God to be able, but I don't feel able. God can make you feel able. Close your eyes if you would. If you're online today, why don't you lean in for just a moment? I want to pray. And then we're going to sing that song, Same God, because this is the same God. This is what God said when He came to Isaac. He said, I made these promises to your dad, Abraham. Same God. Same God made those promises, Isaac. I'm making them to you. Same God here today for you, thousands of years later. Same God. Same God. Father, in Jesus' name, I'm praying for people today. I'm praying for people that have all kinds of challenging circumstances and situations as individuals today. I'm praying for people that have had reports come that have shaken. I'm praying for circumstances, Lord, that have shaken people today, difficulties that have come, and they've stood in their field and said, why? They've stood in their field and cried. They've stood in their field in frustration. They've stood in their field in anger. I want you to turn it around today, God, and I want you to have that same person, God, come to them, come to that same person today and just help them to know. So they can stand in the middle of the field and go, I know. I know. I'm going to hold my field. I'm going to hold my field. I'm going to stay on that field because this is the place in this season that God has called me to sow. And I know, and nothing's going to move that. Nothing's going to shake that. And that knowing and that sowing that I'm doing, it's going to help me move forward. It's going to help me overcome. And you are going to be my ever-present help in time of need. You are going to be my way maker. You are going to be the one that is more than able. And you're going to make me feel able. I'm going to get up every day. I'm going to feel able. I'm going to feel stable because of you with me. And I'm going to feel able because you empower me. God, give us the confidence that Isaac had, where every day he walked out into that field and he reminded himself, God said this would be blessed because of my dad. And I want you to know today that your field will be blessed because of your dad, because of your heavenly father, because of his heart for you and his plan for you. So don't try and work it out your own way. Sow your seed heavenward. Align with him. Stay obedient to what he's told you to do. Father, help people today. It's my prayer. Smile upon people today. That's my prayer. May your favor be upon people today. That's my prayer. May you shine upon people today. That's my prayer. May you bless the people today. That's my prayer. Because that's what you do. And we want to feel that. And we want to know that today. We want to walk into our tomorrows knowing that as we sow, we drive out evil. And I drive it out today with people, for people. And I pray today that there would be a supernatural harvest, that would be an accelerated harvest, that there would be an uncommon harvest, that there would be an unprecedented harvest for individuals in this room and for the collective called the church, right across this city of Logan, right across Brisbane, right across our state, right across our nation. Father, may the church be blessed is what I pray, in a season of retreat, in a season of unbelief, in a season of downsizing, in a season of walking away, where other farmers have said, I'm done with that. God, that you would bring that retreat back and you would turn that storm around. Father, you would fill houses again. You would fill churches again with people of faith, with people that believe, with people that sow, with people that know that this field is a place of hope for me. Father, I pray today that we would be those people. Is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless your church. Let's lean in and worship.
you go in about 2 minutes. We're just going to sing that a little bit again. But I want to open up the altar call. If you have need today, you want to come, you want people to pray with you, we're going to have some people come and pray with you today. And I know you need, so why don't you come? We're going to have our prayer team come. We're going to have our ministry team come today. Come and get some prayer today in this moment. Same God, as you stand in this place, this moment, bring it to the Lord as we conclude today. Come on. Oh God, my God, I need you. God, I need you. God, I need you.
Your face.